What do you do when you find yourself being swallowed up by the storm? What do you do when you feel like you're hitting a spiritual wall? When with everything in you, you want to believe in the goodness of God, but what you see with your eyes is different than what you actually believe in your heart. What do you do when you find yourself wrestling with doubts? When the things that you always thought were true perhaps maybe aren't true? What do you do when you believe that God is good, but life is not? Those are the things that we've been wrestling with in this series called Light in the Storm. We are in one of the most raw and honest books of the Bible, studying the book of Habakkuk. Last week, we were in Habakkuk chapter 1. And if you were with us, Habakkuk chapter 1 is not a Hallmark sermon. All right, what was a Hallmark sermon, if you remember? In a Hallmark movie, all the problems are resolved in an hour and 30 minutes or less, including commercial breaks. Chapter 1 is not a Hallmark sermon. Nothing's been resolved. You're still kind of hanging from last week. That's why you had to come back today. Today, we're in chapter 2. There's three chapters in the book of Habakkuk, and I warned you that chapter 2 is not a Hallmark sermon either. I got a lot of mixed comments from last week. Some said it was great, best sermon they've heard. Some said it was difficult. It was raw and just kind of hard to handle. If you didn't like last week's message, chances are you're not going to like today's either. So welcome to Cedar Point Church, where we want you to know you matter to God, right? We're in Habakkuk chapter 2. Right, Habakkuk 1, don't walk away from God in chapter 1. Chapter 2, don't quit on God in chapter 2. Okay, chapter 1 was all about the wrestling and the wondering. Right? God, I know you can, God, I believe you will, but you're not. And I don't understand why you're not. Now, chapter 2 is all about the waiting. Right? Wrestling is difficult, waiting is even more difficult. If you missed last week, let me kind of give you a little backstory on the book of Habakkuk. Right? Habakkuk is what's known as a minor prophet, and simply means it's a smaller book in the Bible. And he lived and wrote around 600 years before the birth of Christ. Most prophets' job was to speak to the people on behalf of God. Right? In other words, this is what God says to you, the people. Habakkuk was different. He didn't speak to people on behalf of God. Instead, he spoke to God on behalf of the people. And he said, God, I don't understand why you're not doing anything. I don't think this is fair. You're supposed to be a just and fair God, and I'm not so sure that you are. Now, where are you, God? Why aren't you doing what I think you should do? Okay, Habakkuk's people, the people of Judah, at one time were very blessed and prosperous. But now there was just unbelievable corruption and people were suffering greatly. And so Habakkuk cries out to God, God, deliver us. And God says, okay, I'm about to do something that you're not even going to believe, right? It's going to amaze you. You wouldn't even believe it if I told you. And so Habakkuk, all right, if I'm Habakkuk, I'm thinking, well, all right, finally, God's going to come through. No, he's going to answer my prayers. Everything's going to be great, and we're going to be happy and blessed. And God says to him, I'm going to raise up your enemy, people who are even worse than you, the Babylonians, to execute my judgment upon you. And Habakkuk can't believe it. Right? He's like beside himself. This doesn't make any sense. This isn't the God that I want to believe in. Right? Chapter 1, he's wrestling. Why don't you do what I want you to do? Chapter 2 now, he's waiting. Right? He's waiting. God, when are your promises going to come true? Right? God, when are you going to come through? And perhaps this is where you're at right now. Right? We've all been there at some point. Whether it's a spouse you're waiting on to step over that faith line, and to finally come to Christ. Or maybe there's been some bad decisions in your marriage, maybe some marital unfaithfulness, and you're waiting for God to work on their hearts and bring them back to you, and you're just waiting. And you're praying that God's Spirit is going to do something in their life. Or maybe you or a loved one just got a bad report from a doctor, and you're waiting to see how this season of life is going to play out. I mean, there are people in our church, people in our community, people in our own families who are all battling with all kinds of illnesses and diseases and depression, and we're waiting to see if this or that treatment is going to work. And we're praying and we're waiting for a diagnosis and believing that God's going to come through for us. We're waiting on God. God, you know, touch my little girl. Heal my son's body. Restore my wife's, you know, mind. Whatever it is. I'm waiting and I'm praying and believing that God's going to do a miracle. What do you do when you're stuck? Right? What do you do when you're hurting and all you can do is wait? Today I want to get into chapter 2. And I want us to look at three things that God's word tells us to do. Right? Very specifically, three things Habakkuk does when you're hurting. Right? When you're wondering, when you don't know what to do and you find yourself in the middle of a storm. Let me show you the first thing that we're going to see him do. Right? Some of you, this is maybe what you need to do. Right? You're hurting, you're wondering. The first thing we see is Habakkuk is going to listen to God. Right? He's going to listen to God. And what I like about this is when God's not doing what you want him to do, right, some people walk away. Right? Some people doubt God. Some people quit on God. They just give up. But Habakkuk doesn't do any of those things. Instead, he positions himself in the most strategic place to see the hand of God and to hear the voice of God. All right, verse 1 of Habakkuk 2. He says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. Right? I want to be in the best possible place to see the hand of God and to hear the voice of God. He says, I will look to see what God will say to me. And this isn't easy to do when you're hurting. Because when we're hurting, most often the thing that we want to do is we want to tell God what to do. Right? God, you know, reach my spouse and bring him home. God, touch my little nephew's body and, you know, heal him from seizures. God, restore my mom or my dad's health. And if you do, we will bring you glory and we will brag all about you. And God, if you don't, I don't know if I can defend you. It's kind of difficult to talk about your goodness when you don't do what I know you could do. Right, we want to tell God what to do. But instead of telling God what to do at those times, it's important instead to listen to him. Right? Our God is a God who speaks. Our God speaks through his word. If you're a follower of Christ, I would beg you to be in God's word every single day, right? To feed on his word. Right? Get out a Bible and listen for his voice. Open up your YouVersion app. You know, pick a plan and just feed on his word. Let him speak to you. He'll speak to you through his spirit. He can speak audibly at times. So I've never heard the audible voice of God. I'm sure it would scare the living daylights out of me if I did. But he can speak to your soul or your spirit in a way that sometimes, oftentimes, is louder than if it was audible. Right? He can speak through people, which is why we need to be in church on Sundays. We need to be connected with other believers. Right? He can speak through circumstances. He can speak through a message. He can speak through a song. Right? He will speak to you. And if he doesn't, right, don't panic. Just because he's silent doesn't mean he's absent. Right? He is always there. He's always with us. Right? Listen for God's voice. Now, let me warn you, right, and just be honest with you. Sometimes when we hear God speak, it isn't always what we want to hear, right? And which is exactly what he did with Habakkuk. Well, you're going to do something amazing, Habakkuk said. And then God says, yeah, I'm going to raise up your enemy, the people who are worse than you, and they're going to bring my judgment upon you. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear, God. You know, that's not what I asked you to do. You're doing the opposite. That's not what I wanted to hear. And sometimes God will speak to you and he will say something to you that you're not really wanting to hear. The Apostle Paul, right, in the New Testament, is probably one of the greatest examples of a guy who deserved, perhaps, for God to do what he asked him to do. The Apostle Paul had what was called or known as a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what it was. Theologians guess that it was perhaps blindness or, you know, some kind of depression, all sorts of different things. And we don't know what it was. But he begged, right, pleaded with God three times, just seasons of pleading. God, take it away. I will do anything, God, if you take this away. Just, you know, take it away, take it away, take it away. And God spoke to him, and God did not say yes, but God said no. You asked me, but my answer to you, Paul, is no. Instead, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Right? He didn't say what Paul wanted to hear. Now, if I'm Paul, I think I'm probably going to push back on God a little bit. I mean, do you remember who I am, all right, and what I'm doing for you? I'm Paul. I mean, seriously, I don't want your grace. I want your power, all right? Peter, give Peter your grace. You don't remember Peter, the guy who denied you on due 12 times, three times? Give Peter your grace. I need your power, all right? Thomas, You know, mister, I'm not believing unless I see. Give Thomas your grace. I need your power. Do you remember what I did for you? What I'm doing for you? I'm Paul. Do you ever feel like that? You ever feel like you deserve for God to do something for you? Did you ever think for a minute that when my son Titus was sick and lying in the hospital that I didn't think that very same thing? I mean, seriously, God, you know what my family's doing for you right now, and you can't do something for me? Come on already. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm being honest. If that's too hard to handle, I'm sorry. But it's like I'm Paul. I was beaten for you. You know, so many times I was left for dead, whipped across my back, you know, shipwrecked, snake bitten. You know how I feel about snakes, God. You know, I was stoned, and not recreationally speaking. I need to clarify that these days, especially after the election. There's like 14 more states who passed that. It's not a medical condition, God, right? After everything I've done for you, give me your power. And God says to him, no, I'm going to give you my grace. What you want is not what I'm going to do for you. But what I'm going to give you is better than what you want. Right? Listen, listen, listen for his voice. And then God's going to show us, right, once we hear what he's saying, number one, we listen. Number two, then we write, right? We write it down. We document it. We record what God says to us. And this is why I tell you almost every single week to take notes on the message, right? It's why every week I prepare online sermon notes for our mobile app. It's not because I'm looking for something fun to do. Right? We remember things better when we take notes, when we write it down. And this is the very thing that God says to Habakkuk. In verse 2, the Lord replied to Habakkuk and said what? Say it with me. He said, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. Okay, document it, record it, write it down. So why do we do this? Well, because we have a very real spiritual enemy whose mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? Our spiritual enemy wants to take from you what God gives to you. Okay, God will speak to you, God will give you faith, God will give you a moment of peace, and our enemy wants to take from you the very word that God has given to you. And this happens all the time. Right, for some of you, perhaps it was last week. Right, you were in church, you heard from God, God spoke to you, God blessed you, God gave you faith, and God moved you. You get in the car, you're driving home, and the kids are fighting in the backseat all the way home. I was like, he's hitting me, don't touch me, you know, don't cross that line. And you look back and you came home and it's like, you know, did God really speak to me or is that something else? You got distracted from it. Okay, Satan wants to take from you what God gives to you. So you write it down, you document, you put it on paper, and then you can go back to it. Or you hang on to it, you believe it, you embrace it, and you don't let your enemy take it from you. And this is something I actually started doing about 12 years ago. I read a book called The Divine Mentor that just totally changed the way I read the Bible. And it really pushed me to begin the habit of journaling. All right, before I read this book, I could have cared less about journaling. You couldn't have paid me to do it. But yeah, I wanted to grow in my walk with God. So I started journaling. And I tell you, it is awesome to be able to pull that thing out and be able to go back and see how God has spoken to me in the past, how he's answered the questions that I had in the past. To see his faithfulness in my life and my family's lives, and to see how much I've grown even over the years. Another book I have where I write stuff down is a book that my mom gave me when I graduated from DeCole Falls College called A Pastoral Record Book. It's probably one of the greatest gifts I've ever been given because it is where I record the names of every single person who has stepped over that faith line. All the names of people who have taken that step of going public with their faith through baptism. All the weddings I've performed, all the child dedications that I've performed. And whenever I'm feeling beat up in ministry, when I feel like quitting what God has called me to do, when I'm wrestling with all the people I've been praying for God to reach, I pull that book off my shelf and I look at all those names. All those names. Because those names are written down in that book are also answers to prayers that other people have been praying for. When Satan wants to get me to doubt, to get me to fear, to get me to walk away, I go back and I say, no, right there in that moment is when God moved. And God still changes lives today. Right? You listen to what God will say and you write it down. And then the third thing is difficult. It's no fun. It's where some of you perhaps are living right now. You listen, you write, and then God's going to say, you wait. You wait. Okay, wrestling is no fun, right? Waiting isn't much better. Right? You wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait on the faithfulness of God. And some of you right now, you're waiting. Will my child ever come back to Christ? You're waiting, and you're praying. What you want to see, you don't see. Instead, you see the opposite. Is God ever going to hear the cry of my heart and give me that marriage that I've always hoped for? Is God ever going to give me a job with benefits? Is God ever going to, you know, heal me from these migraine headaches? Is God ever going to take me out of this depression that holds me down? And you wait. Verse 3 of Habakkuk 2 is probably one of my favorite verses. God says, for the revelation awaits what? Say it with me. An appointed time. Right? The revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Though it linger, wait for it. Some of you are there right now, right? You're waiting on God. Though it linger, wait for it. Well, it seems like it's taken forever. Though it linger, you wait for him. Now, I love the way the Living Bible translates this very same verse. It says, but these things I plan won't happen right away. And then God says, slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. At the appointed time, God will deliver. At the appointed time, God will respond. Right? At the appointed time, God will do his perfect will. At the appointed time. In fact, I love the Hebrew word that's translated as appointed time. It's the word moed. And it literally means perfect, unstoppable timing of God. When it's the moed, it's coming. Right? When it's the moed, there is no stopping it. Kind of like when Dee Dee was giving birth to our firstborn, Kaylee. It seemed like every kid of ours, as we got more and more kids, the labor just got longer and longer and longer. But that didn't seem to be the case with Kaylee. Because this was our first child, we'd gone through all those birthing classes together, and I had to watch that stupid video, you know, the one I'm talking about, right? So I was being a good husband and helping her breathe and push and being her cheerleader. I mean, by the time you get to your fourth kid, it's like, you're on your own, right? I'm watching TV. Tell me when it's done, all right? But I'll never forget, right? Dee Dee is having contractions, and she'd been pushing for a while, and I'm right there next to her, you know, cheering her on, helping her push. And when the doctor and the nurse are standing over in the corner of the room talking about something, I don't know what they're talking about, when she's about to have another contraction. So I kind of yell at the doctor, and I'm like, hey, do you want her to push again? And he's like, yeah, go ahead and push. So she starts pushing, and the next thing I know, a little Kaylee's head's popping out, playing a little peekaboo, and I'm like, hey, get your butt over here, you know? You need a catcher. I'm not paid to catch her. You need a catcher. I mean, when it's the moed, it's coming, right? When it's the moed, there's no stopping it. At the appointed time, it's going to happen, all right? The moed, you can't stop it, all right? Always remember, if it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it is God's time, you can't stop it. Though it linger, wait for it, right? His timing is perfect. You may say it takes forever, but I continue to wait. I'm not seeing it. It's not coming to pass. Well, I hope you remember when you're in the waiting zone, right? When you're trying to hang on to your faith and you're not seeing anything, you're getting impatient, you're starting to wonder, and you're waiting and you're wrestling, and, you know, where is God? Or remember, God's delays are not God's denials. Just because you don't see something happening doesn't mean God's not doing it. Right? Though it linger, wait for it. At God's appointed time, it will come to pass. Many theologians say that verse 4 is the most important verse in all of Habakkuk. It's not my favorite, but perhaps it is the most important. Habakkuk is just beside himself, right? The Babylonians are evil. When are they going to get what's coming to them? And if you read Habakkuk chapter 2, there's what's known as the five woes of Babylon. Okay, basically, God says, I'm going to get them, I'm really going to get them, I'm going to get them, you know, five different times, right? They're going to get theirs. I'm a just God. And Habakkuk is waiting, right? God, when are you going to bring justice on us? When are you going to bring justice on them? I don't understand. He's confused. And this is what God says. And God acknowledges the Babylonians are evil. He says, see, the enemy, Babylon, is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But God's not talking to them, right? He's talking to Habakkuk. And he says, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness, will live by God's faithfulness. In the New Testament, Scripture tells us that the righteous will live by faith. All right, we don't walk by sight, we live by faith. Our faith is not based on what we see or what we want or getting our own way. Our faith is based on the character and the goodness and the promises of God. We live by faith. In a few minutes, we're going to close with a song called I Will Wait For You. It's a song that we've never sung in here before, so I simply want you to sit and listen to it. Right? Let the words speak to you. But verse 1 goes, out of the depths I cry to you, in darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew, and hear my cry for mercy, Lord. And then the chorus, I will wait for you. I will wait for you. On your word I will rely. I will wait for you, surely wait for you, till my soul is satisfied. The righteous, God's word says, will live by faith. All right? Even though I don't see it with my eyes, God, I believe it with all my heart. Even though everything I want you to do, you're not doing, I wait for you. I wait for your goodness. I wait for your glory to be revealed. Though it linger, you wait for it. Though it's still not coming, I wait for it. I wait for you. Habakkuk is disturbed. He's confused. He's angry. He's upset. He feels betrayed. He's questioning. He's doubting. He's trying to hang on to his faith, perhaps like many of us are doing today. And then Habakkuk kind of pauses. And he says three simple words in verse 20. Almost as if he's kind of reminding himself that God is still in control. And he says, but the Lord. I love those words. But the Lord. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Even though I don't get it, even though things aren't going the way I want them to go, I remind myself that God is still on the throne. Right? He still holds all things in his hands. No matter what I see, I choose faith. No matter what I feel, I choose faith. Even though I doubt, I will still lift my hands. Even though I don't see a way, but with God, there is always a way. I'm aching, but in my heart, I choose to trust God. I don't see what I want to see, but because God has always proven himself faithful, I choose to walk by faith. I don't understand this, but I believe with everything in me that God is still good. God is still on the throne. What if God has you going through what you're going through right now so that he can use you to help bring other people to faith? Do you remember what the name Habakkuk even means? Habakkuk does not mean wrestling and giving up, right? But the very name Habakkuk means to wrestle and to embrace. To wrestle, right? I don't like this. I would give anything for it to be different, but I'm still going to embrace. God, I don't understand, but I'm not letting go. Okay, chapter 1 in the wrestling, don't walk away from God in chapter 1. Chapter 2 in the waiting, don't quit on God in the waiting. Though it linger, you wait for it. If it's not God's time, you can't force it. When it is God's time, you can't stop it. He is still good in the waiting. Because of who God is, I will not let go. I will embrace him, even in the doubts, even in the pain, even when I don't understand. Perhaps there's somebody sitting here today or watching online that God's speaking to. Right? And you need to know that it's okay to wrestle, but don't let go of God. Right, don't you dare let go of God. Chapter 1, wrestling is so difficult. Don't walk away in 1. But chapter 2, waiting is perhaps even more difficult. Don't quit on God in chapter 2. Next week is chapter 3. All right, so what happens in chapter 3? Well, you'll have to come back next week to find out what happens in chapter 3. Right? Don't you dare read ahead. All right, remember, you cannot have chapter 3 without chapters 1 and chapter 2. Don't walk away from God in chapter 1. Don't quit on God in chapter 2. Right? He is big enough to handle the wrestling, but you continue to wait for him. So I want you to listen to this song. All right, and then I'll close us in prayer.
Out of the depths I cry to you. In darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew and hear my cry for mercy, Lord. Were you to count my sinful ways, how could I come before your throne? Yet for forgiveness meets my case, I stand redeemed by grace alone. Yeah, I will wait for you. I will wait for you on your word. I will rely and I will wait for you. Surely wait for you till my soul is satisfied.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to us in a way that only you can. God, we want to hear your voice, even if what you say is not what we want to hear. And yet we'll record it, we'll write it down. This is what you say, God. And so, God, we wait on your promises. We wait on your goodness. We wait for you through the storm and through the night. Father, I pray that you would speak. Speak somehow through this message. God, speak to us daily through your word. God, speak through the people of this church. God, speak through your circumstances that we face every day. Just give us the strength, Lord. Help us to continue to embrace you in the waiting, to hold on to you, God, because our faith is not based on getting our own way, getting what we want, God, but our faith is based on your character, your nature, and your goodness. So help us to see that you are good, Lord, even when the things around us are not. I pray all these in your Son's amazing name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.